Hill and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting MerrittAssembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in here on the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and Merritt Assembly of God exists. We are blessed to be a blessing, and we are called by the Lord to make disciples. We're a church that believes in making disciples who will make disciples who will make disciples. That's what Wednesday night is about at Merritt Assembly of God. And if you would like to come and be a part of that, I've finished my going through all of the articles myself here at the first of the month. And, you know, there were some interesting things. There were some things that I had just gone through in the scriptures myself. And when I read those articles, it was like, that would have been really good information that I could have passed along. When I was sharing the information that I had already accumulated from the Word. So if you would like to come and be a part of it, most of our articles are freestanding. Occasionally, due to the length of the article, we will break those up into two parts or sometimes even three parts. But if you come, there are study guides available, we would love to help you as you launch out in growing in your faith. So it's something we believe not just for the adults, but for the young people as well. So come and be a part of that tonight, 7 p.m. inside the sanctuary, unless you're part of the youth group, and then that will be over in the fellowship hall. They have a little bit more space over there for them, and they have food too. So they eat better at youth group than we do in the adult Bible study. We don't have any food over there on Wednesday night. So 7 p.m. tonight, 165 North Grove Street. Come be a part of that. Introduce yourself. We would love to meet you and have an opportunity to break the bread of life together at the Bible study. Today we are going to the book of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1. We are looking at the essentiality of being saved. A lot of people think that if you come to church, you must be saved. I've known people that went to church their whole life and they weren't saved. They just, for some reason, sometimes they went to support a spouse. Sometimes they went because it was a way of honoring a parent or something. No matter what their motive were, it was, if Jesus is not living in your heart, you need Jesus. Jesus is the only way into heaven. And we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to look at Paul and his encounter that resulted in his salvation. Verse number 12 says this, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone, who is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So here we're going to look at things a little bit differently than we normally do. I see some things in here that God had done in Paul's life, a couple of processes, if you will, patterns he mentions here in the Word. So we're gonna look at that and make sure you don't miss a step. So the first thing that I want to point out to you is that Paul had a salvation experience with Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can save. You can't save yourself by good works. No one else can save you by their good works. I can't save anybody by my prayers for them. I can just pray and ask God, the Holy Spirit, to be in passionate pursuit of their souls through the Holy Spirit and through the ministry of the saints until those people are willing to say yes to having their sins forgiven and Jesus being the Lord of their life. So, Christ saved Paul. Even though he was a persecutor of the church, even though he describes himself as the chiefest of sinners or among the worst of the sinners because he had persecuted the church, he found that God's right arm, God's strong right hand, that they were still sufficient to be able to reach down to the depths at which he was at, and to bring him out of the pit, cleanse him by the blood, and forgive him. So, I literally had a person tell me one time, there is no way that God could forgive me. I've sinned too much. And I want you to know that that sort of mindset is a mindset of pride, because it goes contrary to the word of God that Jesus came to take away the sins of the world. That whosoever will believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. To say that you sinned to such a great extent that there's no way that God would forgive you is a lie from the pit of hell that many have believed, when God demonstrates in his word that he was able to save Paul, who was a murderer, able to work through Moses, who was a murderer, able to work through David, who was a murderer and an adulterer. There's a whole lot of people that God used in the scriptures, and not one of them was perfect except the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Christ saved. The next thing that I want to point out to you here is that once Christ had saved, Christ enabled. Christ enabled Paul. Our abilities should not ever rest upon our natural resources as much as they rest upon the omnipotence, the power, the authority that God has. And through him, all things are possible. Believe me, there have been more than one occasion when I said, I'm not able to do this, and God's response was, I am. He's able. And, you know, I tell stories of people at the church who were on their jobs and were running into problems that they did not know how to resolve, and they were experts in their field. They had exhausted every idea that they had had. And so they would abandon the project for a little while. They would go away and they would pray. And when they would come back, God would give them the solution to the problem. And it was solved very, very quickly after that. I just had that happen to me to a very minor degree. But I worked on something for an hour. I worked on it. It was very detailed, and I worked on it until my fingers were cramped. They couldn't work on it anymore. And I went and I said, you know what? I'm just going to put all of the parts away. I'm going to come back at it as soon as, you know, I feel like God's going to give me the success that I need in this area. And I finished the project in probably under 5 minutes. And I was ecstatic. I was thrilled. Christ Jesus not only saves, but he enables you for whatever task that he has set before you. So I fully appreciate spiritual giftings test. I do believe that there is some validity. A lot of times people taking those spiritual giftings, though, assess themselves from their natural capabilities instead of the supernatural ability that the Holy Spirit could make possible in their lives. And so I make no bones about it. I'm not a worship leader. I can do it. I can't do it very well, as my kids spent their entire childhood reminding me. I can sing some, but I don't like the sound of my voice when it comes to singing. It doesn't matter how loud you turn up the reverb. I've had people that came and said, "Wow, you sing really well." And that's like, I've heard people that sing really well, and I've heard me, and I know this. I'm not them. So our standards are slightly different there. But if it is a person who wants to worship God and God says, do the best that you can and my ability will more than compensate for any shortcomings you might have, I think that is a tremendous resource that we need to remember what God does for us. He enables us to fulfill the project that he assigns to us. The next thing that I want to focus on Christ is this, that he counted Paul faithful. So remember to use God math, not your math. I'm going to say that again. Remember to use God's math, not your math. Several years ago, it's decades ago, more than two decades ago now, Merit Assembly of God, over the course of about a year or a year and a half, led an entire family to the Lord. Started with the mom, then it went to the kids, and finally the husband said yes and accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Less than 60 days after that, a company recruited him and moved his family for a job in a different state. And they said they were only going to be gone for a few years, and it's been 20-some years, and they still haven't returned back. So at the end of the year, when we looked at our attendance went down, because even though the husband was attending, he hadn't given his heart to Jesus until the spring of that year. So at the end of the year, our attendance numbers looked down, because when the parents moved, they took their kids with them. We had that happen that year. We had it happen in 2005 and 2006. We've had it happen a number of times where so many people relocated throughout the country that our attendance went down, but the kingdom had grown because people had given their hearts to Jesus. And now, just because they were shifting out of the area, man's math said this, Merit Assembly of God shrinking. God's math said the kingdom of God was growing. And just because he shifted the saints someplace else didn't mean that it was a Merit Assembly of God problem. It was actually a Merit Assembly of God success. When they went to those new areas, they were blessings to the church that they arrived in. So you remember to count like Jesus instead of counting like men. And Jesus counted Paul faithful. In 2023, there has been a watering down of the definition of faithfulness. There are church statisticians, people who take surveys, and they tell us something like 10 years ago that average church attendance, you know, if you considered yourself a regular church attender, that meant that you were in church like once a week, which was down from what it had been decades earlier, where it was, we're at church multiple times a week. So then it went to where regular attenders were people who only attended church a couple of times a month. Now it is down to the point where regular attenders are considered people who only show up maybe once a month. And so you have to ask yourself, did God change his definition of faithful, or has man just embraced a lower degree of faithfulness? We have people from all over the spectrum that, you know, some people are stay at home, some people work and things like that. So I want to ask you some questions about faithfulness, because the truth of the matter is God is going to remain faithful whether people remain faithful or not, because faithfulness is who he is. He is the faithful and he is the true. Okay? So God can't deny himself. He's faithful. The challenge is, are we faithful? And so I've had speakers that have come through and would speak prophetically and say, you know, God, you know, commends you for your faithfulness. Well, at that point in time, faithfulness wasn't exactly the adjective that I would have used to describe me, but I would say, well, you know, I know how I feel, but how does God feel about this situation? If he's deeming me faithful, then I'm going to go with his definition instead of my feelings. So if you own a business, if you own a business and you were evaluating your employees, would you consider your employees as faithful to God if they showed up as frequently as you do to the house of God? Would you consider them faithful if they showed up to work as often as you read the Word of God? Would you consider your spouse as being faithful if they only showed up as much as you did to worship? And I don't say those things to be mean. I'm not your judge. You're the one that has to give an account to God. I'm just here as the pastor that watches over people's souls. And I would like to do it with joy. Sometimes it's a bit more work than joy. But I just want to challenge you to, when you are doing a soul search, that you do it with the proper perspective and instead of the convenient standard. So I want Jesus to count me faithful. I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I want him to say that to you as well. And Paul said, he counted me faithful, and this is the evidence that he was counted faithful, because he put Paul into the ministry. So he was Christ saved, he was Christ enabled, he was Christ counted faithful, and he was Christ commissioned to ministry. All because he had been saved. In the process, Paul received, if you look down, you will see in verse number 16, that Paul received mercy. That if you look up in verse number 14, you see that Paul had received abundant grace. You continue to see that Paul had received faith and that Paul had received love, all of which are in Christ Jesus. So when you are looking at salvation, please understand that God is saving you from an unmerciful existence to a merciful existence. He is saving you from a life without favor to a life of abundant favor. When he saves us, he is saving us from doubt or faith in our problems or faith in our fears to a life of faith in our Savior. When he saves us, he is saving us from a life without love and being people who are unlovable to saving us so that we are loved by God and loved by people and are lovers of God and lovers of people. So, That was a radical transformation in Paul. You got to remember, when he first encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, Ananias said, God, I know that you said you wanted me to go there. You obviously don't have all of the facts about him. This guy's killing believers. And God said, he's a chosen vessel of mine, and I've already told him you're coming. Go lay hands on him and heal him of his blindness. He's going to do a great work. See, we can't look at people's past without Jesus and say Jesus can never use them for his glory because he's the savior of people's souls. He can do anything. He can do anything. So, he goes on here and he says, where did it go here? Verse number 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So I wrote down a thing here. Sinners are people who have sinful behavior. Sinful behavior. Now, here is a saying that I wrote down. I don't know who it is that originally said it, but it is this. We are not sinners because of our sinful behavior. Our sinful behavior is a result of the fact that we are sinners. And so, if you look at that equation, and again, please understand we're not talking about absolute perfection. We're not talking about some unreasonable standard. We are still in the refining process until our final breath, and I think that we should embrace that refining process instead of running from it. But we do need to analyze ourselves and say, am I habitually and willingly participating in sinful behavior? Because if the answer to that is yes, then we need to make a trip back to the altar and say, Jesus, I need you. I have found myself in a pit that I cannot deliver myself from. And I need you to come and rescue me again. And he will do that. So let's let's talk about a few more things here at the very end of the chapter, or at the end of our passage here. And I want to remind you just a little bit about Jesus Christ. He saved you, he enabled you, he counts you faithful, and he commissioned you for service. Well, listen to what Paul concludes in verse number 17. Now to the king. So this is not some annoying neighbor from down the street or some annoying coworker. This is not somebody with an opinion. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is also eternal. In other words, he's been forever. He's going to be forever. He was king before your problems. He'll be king after your problems. He will be king over your problems. To the King, eternal, immortal. Okay? So I always like to remind people, ancient mythologies created their gods in the image of man with all of their sinful behavior, but they just created them with supernatural abilities. That's not the same with Christianity. Christianity, God created us in his image. He's supernatural. He does not have our flaws. He does not have our frailties. He does not suffer from our weaknesses or our illnesses or our diseases. He's immortal. He is invisible. God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. It says he is God alone. A different way of saying verse number 26, to the only wise God. Okay? He's not caught up in the foolishness of society. He's not involved in the foolishness of politics. He's not manipulated or anything like that. The wisdom that he exudes is wisdom that's from heaven, wisdom that is flawless, wisdom that will stand the test of time. He is the only wise God, and he deserves the honor, and he deserves the glory forever. And the redeemed of the Lord join Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and we say, amen. God, may that be true right now. And so if Jesus could do that by saving Paul, such a radical transformation, what will my life look like? What will your life look like as Jesus enables us, considers us faithful, commissions us to partner with him to see sinners receive abundant mercy, grace, faith, and love? We'll see you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Befriended by the King above all kings. Surrender to a friend above all friends.